Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you.
To all our viewers watching over live stream, we welcome you to the service in this morning. I trust that everyone will be blessed by the words that will go forth in this morning, that I will share in this day. And I'm going to need your hearts to be open. Take notes. It's going to go fast. I don't have a lot of time. Amen. Are you ready for this? The Bible says, Psalm chapter 8, from verse 4 to verse 6, King James Version, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." I don't know if you're hearing this. He has crowned you with glory and with honor. And it goes on and it says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Understanding this morning that the moment that God have made you, have formed you, have designed you, the moment that he have breathed his ruach, breath of life, his Holy Spirit inside of you, at that very moment, he invested all of heaven's power on the inside of you. Understand that the moment that you came before the cross and said, "Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior over my life." At that moment, God has stepped right inside of you, and now it's no longer you that is walking, but it is him that is walking through you. Now when you are speaking, it is no longer you speaking, but it is him speaking through you. Now when you take a breath, it is no longer your breath, but you're breathing the Holy Spirit. Understand that you now walk in unquestionable dominion, and that uncommon favor is your portion. It is the cup that you now drink from, as you dwell in a dimension of infinite possibilities. I don't know about you, but this is something worth rejoicing about. Do you not know that you are ambassadors of heaven, children of the Most High God? Come on, stand up and rejoice. Give him the loudest praise offering that you can possibly give him. Come on, praise him. He has given you everything. He has done it all on this cross. I'm going to preach you awake in this morning. Many might think that this is hype. I don't care. I'm telling you that this thing is in me, burning like holy fire. What you have just done is the reason why I did this. What you have just done is you have stepped into the first level of worship. What you have done was very dangerous for those who stood up and rejoiced. What you have just done is you have sent fear down the spine of your enemy. What you have just done was to cause a shaking and a trembling within the spiritual dimension. This is the word that I want to get into this morning. You can have your seats, but before I get into this message, I first would like to say that I greatly honor and I respect the spiritual authority that is over this house. Both Pastor Leon and Pastor Esteli DePrio, for once again entrusting me to take the pulpit in this morning. and to minister the word of God unto you. Amen. I'll be finishing off this morning with our series, Proskuneo, the prayer that God cannot ignore. Come on, who have been blessed throughout this series so far? Say Proskuneo. It's a prayer that God cannot ignore. And so in this morning, I want to get into five levels of worship. And you might be asking me, what has worship got to do with prayer? Everything. I've said many times before that worship is the highest level of communication with God. And prayer is not a something. It is not something that you do. Prayer is something that you become. It is a state of being. Prayer is a relationship platform that we step into agreement with God. And being in agreement with God is the highest level of prayer. Worship has got everything to do with prayer. Worship is an attitude that demonstrates the openness of your hearts. And it's called proskuneo. It is a place where you fall with your face prostrate to the ground. Where you kiss the face of God. It speaks of intimacy. This in its very essence is worship. Worship in its very essence is one of the highest forms of prayer that you can step into. Say proskuneo. And so this morning I want to get through five dimensions. I don't know if I'm going to get through all five, but I'm going to try my best. It depends on your response. If I can't get through all five, it's because of your response. Now you don't know whether you should respond or not. Come on, just stand with me for a moment there. Say proskuneo, a prayer that God cannot ignore. Say it's for me. Take all of this thing. Can I ask you in this morning to take this word? Don't just listen, but hear this word in this morning. Take it with you. Apply this principle that you hear every Sunday. You will see things change in your life. Amen. Can I have your seats? Five dimensions, five levels of worship. The first one is the Hebrew word zama. Z-A-M-A. Say zama. And it means rejoicing. This is the first level that you have just stepped into early on when you jumped up. And you shouted and you praised. You rejoiced in the Lord. Amen. It is a supernatural thing. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 100 verse 4, King James Version, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, this entire scripture can be summed up in one word. And that is the Hebrew word zama. It means an anointing to rejoice in the Lord. One word. Many of us have just stepped into it now, yet there were many that battled to do this. Many battled to stand up. They cannot stand up. They cannot raise their hands. They cannot surrender. They cannot open their mouths and just rejoice in the Lord. But I pray that even before my message is done in this day, that as I'm speaking from heaven, that as this revelation progresses and you cross this thing, that this anointing of true rejoicing in the Spirit will come and rest upon each and every one of you. Every person under the sound of my voice, may you receive this anointing. May this anointing come and rest upon you in this day. Say rejoicing. It is a type of worship that is demonstrated physically. It is a type of worship where you completely lose yourself in the presence of God. It is this type of worship where David took off all his clothes. And the Bible says that he danced before the Lord as he sang praises unto him, rejoicing in the Lord God Almighty. It is here where David says, God, I will praise you and I will worship you with everything that is within me. It is here where you go to church and a powerful revelation will be shared. You will find yourself sitting on the edge of your seat. You cannot sit still. Your spirit is jumping on the inside of you. You just want to jump up and praise. You just want to shout and dance. It might even be a moment in worship, a moment in praise, where the presence, the anointing, comes flooding over you, wave upon wave. And you cannot fight, you cannot sit still. You just want to jump up. You just want to shout. You just want to praise. You just want to rejoice. And it's called Zama. It is the rejoicing anointing that have come upon you. Listen, in this anointing, you don't care what the person next to you might think. As you break out rejoicing, it is a rejoicing that is demonstrated physically. Although it's done in spirit and in truth, it is something that you physically display. Yeah, you might start to sing, you might not even have a voice to sing. Trust me, I know. But understand that worship is not having a voice to sing. It is what is in your hearts. You will have two types of people, and the one will stand and it will break out rejoicing. It will be off of notes. It will sound horrible because it's done out of the flesh and is trying to draw attention to himself. Yet another one, the rejoicing anointing might come upon you. You cannot sit still. The anointing is upon me now. And I jump up as I shout and as I sing. Listen, it might be completely off of note, but it's done with the sound of heaven. It's done in spirit and in truth. It does not matter. It is the rejoicing anointing. You don't care what the person next to you might think of you. This is truly what the Apostle Paul, you can have your seats, I've meant by the words when he said, rejoice in the Lord. Sadly, we live in a day and age where this generation do not understand the true meaning of rejoicing. To rejoice means to express, to demonstrate your love, your thankfulness, your gratefulness, your admiration, your adoration in the Lord. It is a supernatural type of rejoicing, but it's demonstrated physically. Are you guys with me? You get two types of rejoicing. You can rejoice in the world, or you can rejoice in the Lord. It always amazes me how people can go to clubs and they will go mad, make a complete spectacle of themselves. In the world, and I can testify to this because that is where we all come from, that before you go to a club, I mean, you'll only get dressed like at 10 o'clock because it only starts at like 11. But let's say we have a conference that starts maybe at 7 or 8. Oh, it's so late. Now I'm going to get home only like 12. Where has things gone to? Rejoicing in the Lord is a supernatural spiritual thing. If I can show you your bank account right now and give you evidence that I have just transferred $20 million into your bank account, I guarantee you that you will not sit still. I guarantee you that you won't care about the person next to you, that you will run up and down, rejoicing, shouting and dancing. I guarantee it. Yet, we cannot even go to church, raise our hands, surrender to God, and just bow down, worship, and just surrender, just rejoice in Him for everything that He has done for us. It is time for a generation to rise up, to understand what it means to rejoice in the Lord. Understanding that, listen, He has done everything for me. I have been set free. The shackles of bondage have been removed. I am a son of the Most High God. I have been given everything, and that I cannot hold it back. I want to shout and scream that You are my Lord and that You are my God. I want everyone to know it. It is supernatural. It is spiritual. The Bible says that the children of Israel were led by a pillar of fire. Say, a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And when they reached the edge of the ocean, they found themselves being entrapped between an ocean of water on the one side, and on the other side, the host of the Egyptians facing certain death. And God said, no, no, no. Here I will make my name known. And it is right there that eternity stepped into time. and God decided to intervene into this whole situation, and he delivered their enemies into their hands. Can you imagine? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 24 and 25, King James Version, and it says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked onto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire. Say through the pillar of fire. I need you to get this. He looked onto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the clouds, and troubled the hosts of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fight for them against the Egyptians. Can you imagine? It is right at that moment that God opened the waters. He led them through on dry ground for them to come to the other side, to turn around and to see their chariot wheels being dismantled, every weapon being thrown down. They're being turned around and chased away by the fire of God. Can you imagine this? For them just to look onto these hosts, their oppressors being drowned in this mass of water as God delivered the oppressors into their hands. The Bible said that from this point forth, after this event, they went forth praising and rejoicing in the Lord for everything that he has done for them. Understand that the Bible says that Satan has been sent to kill, steal, and destroy. He will do everything within his power to steal your rejoicing, to steal your joy, and to destroy your hope. But the only thing that you need to do is keep your eyes fixated upon him, the way, the truth, and the life. And you will see a victory upon victory unfold before your very eyes. But this type of rejoicing that I'm speaking of is only possible through him, the way, the truth, and the life. For he has done everything for us on the cross. Say, pillar of fire. Listen, when you come to the cross, you are facing, you need to understand the spiritual significance, the prophetic significance of this thing. When you come to the cross, you are facing a supernatural, spiritual, a directional compass that is directing you into all truth. For the Bible says that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. When you're facing this supernatural, spiritual, directional compass, what are you looking at? You're looking at Christ Jesus, crucified upon that cross, and his head is facing north, looking up, and he has given us so promotion, glory, and honor. And with his one arm stretched to the east over this world, he has sent forth and have called for judgment over our enemies. And with his other arm stretched over this world to the west, they have called for liberation and deliverance on our behalf. And with his feet facing to the south, he have crushed and Satan underneath his feet. He have removed the keys of sin and death from his hand, and have given us the gift of life eternal, so that we can live this life in abundance. I am preaching far better than you are responding in this day. When you come to this directional compass that is the cross, and you take the north, the east, the west, and the south, what do you get? You get news. He have come to give us the good news. Listen, the moment that he was crucified upon that cross, he has done it all for you and I. And for we to now be baptized into his death, the Bible says, so that we can be risen in his resurrection power. He's done it all for us, so that we can be filled with his spirit and go out into this world and preach the gospel with a demonstration of kingdom power and with boldness, roaring like the lion of the tribe of Judah. He have come to give us the good news. Say proskeneo. I'm teaching in this morning. Say pillar of fire. Stay with me, I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm still on the first point, rejoicing. And I have to finish off. So again, say pillar of fire. So I don't think you're getting it yet. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, King James Version. Just correct me if I'm going wrong here. And it's John speaking, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with... You're still not getting this. Say, pillar of fire. You have become that very pillar of fire. Baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. You have become that very pillar of fire. It is now through you and I that God is looking onto the hosts of our enemies. Don't know if you're getting this. Can I get a bit technical this morning? I'm going to use my technical background. For those who are educated will enjoy this. If you haven't gone to school, I'll try my best. Just stay with me. Amen. Say pillar of fire. What is the purpose of a structural pillar? I want you to get this thing, but listen now spiritually to what I'm saying. Amen. The purpose or the main purpose of a structural pillar is to keep a building structurally sound. The purpose of a structural pillar is to keep a building stable when it is faced with the most severe weather conditions. So these structural pillars have to be designed accurately by a qualified and skillful engineer. Amen. In other words, the purpose of these pillars is to make sure that the building is stable so that it does not stagger, so that it does not move, or that it does not shift when there's heavy winds, or that when it does shift, it shifts according to the wind of God and not according to the circumstances that you are surrounded by. These structural pillars is what is known as compression members. Stay with me. Because it transmits the weights from the structure above to the elements below. Are you guys with me? There's some people that's getting this already, some not. It transmits the weights from the structure above to the elements below. The Bible says, understand that these pillars have been designed accurately by skillful engineers for a very specific task and reason. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4, King James Version, and it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now listen to this. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the worlds, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When God have created you and have formed you, designed you, He placed His Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and so engineered into you everything necessary for you to accomplish a very specific role and task here on earth, so that we as sons and daughters of the Most High God, so that we as holy fire pillars can go out into this world and establish His authority. It is now through you and I that He have now sent us into a broken and dying world, so that we can heal the brokenhearted, so that we can set the captives free, and so that we can preach the gospel to the oppressed. He have now sent us to transmit what we receive from above out into a dying and broken world. Listen, the Bible says, say pillar. When Jacob came to a certain place, that he took a stone that he used as a pillow. And when he laid his head to the stone, that he saw the heavens open and he saw angels ascending and descending. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The moment that Jacob connected with the chief cornerstone, he could see spiritually. The moment that he connected with this pillar, he could see the heavens open over him. And he could connect supernaturally to that which is spiritual. The Bible says that you and I is now called the true living stones. And that is connected with the chief cornerstone. Understand that the moment that you and I, as living pillars, connect with the chief cornerstone, that the heavens and now is continually open over us, and that where we move, the atmosphere around us is subject to us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It is Jesus that told Peter, upon this rock will I build my church. Upon this pillar, will I build my church. Upon this pillar will I build my church. It is now through you and I that he looks onto the host of our enemies, dismantling every weapon, every plan, and every assignment of Satan. If you can only come to a place where you can rejoice in the Lord and just surrender, you will see victory upon victory upon victory unfold before your very eyes. Don't know about you, but that is something worth rejoicing about. Come on, give him a praise offering. Are you ready to go on? Level number two. Say Yada. Y-A-D-A-H. Yada. It means total surrender. Say total surrender. This is where you come to a place, you raise your hands, total surrender to God. It is known as proskuneo. Amen. Where you surrender yourself completely. You present yourself as a living sacrifice before the only true living God. Listen. This is a very dangerous type of worship. You cannot come up against someone operating under the Yada anointing. Amen. Put on the screen for me. I'm going to rush through this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 15. And just flow with me. And it says, and he said, hearken you, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed. Listen to this. I love this. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. So they're operating by revealed knowledge. God reveals something that's about to happen. Amen. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Go verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Say, I will not need to fight in this battle. It says, set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against him, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Listen, let me put this thing into perspective for you. What happened here? Two powerful armies decided to join forces against Jerusalem and Judah. Now you need to understand that the spiritual significance of this story. They were completely outnumbered. Few in numbers. They were crying. They were afraid. Thinking by themselves, listen, how can we even think of engaging in this battle? Thinking that we're going to come out victoriously. Amen? But if you read earlier on, it says that when he received this news, that he called a fast and a prayer, a session, And the moment they bowed down and surrendered, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon a certain man as a prophet stood up and said that, listen, this battle is not ours, but this battle belongs to God, and that we will not have to fight in this battle. The only thing that we need to do is bow down, is to worship, and is to surrender, and we will see this victory unfold before our very eyes. When you operate in a Yada anointing, you can no longer see the circumstances around you. You can only see Him, the way, the truth, and the life, the only true living God, in all His splendor, glory, and honor. It's the only thing that you experience. It is called Yada. It is an anointing that causes you to be able to see beyond your problem. Amen. Go with me to verse 21. You guys still with me? Verse 21, same chapter. And it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. What did he send before the army? Worshippers. Come on. We serve in a mighty, amazing God. He sent worshippers before this army. And as a result of this, the following happened. Put on verse 22, but put that in the Message translation for me, if possible. Message. It says, as soon as they started shouting and praising, God sent ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir as they were attacking Judah, and they all ended up dead. The Ammonites and the Moabites mistakenly attacked those from, go on for me, Mount Seir, and massacred them. Then, further confused, they went at each other and all ended up killed. Wow. Listen, say Yada. This Yada anointing will cause your enemies to become utterly confused. They will turn against each other. They will kill each other off. Listen, the Yada anointing is a dimension that you step into where you surrender because you desperately need God to intervene into your circumstance and into your situation. Say Yada. Amen. Listen, a similar situation, because of time, I can't read it. I'm going to just tell you the story. 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. Don't have to put it on for reference sake for those taking notes. 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. I'm just going to explain the story to you because of time. What happened here was King Hezekiah received word from the messengers of the king of Assyria, stating that this Assyrian army, and you need to understand, was at that time the most powerful army, ruling army at the time, was about to attack him, King Hezekiah. And he said that, listen, my forces is completely surrounded your entire country, the entire city surrounded with my forces, from the north to the east, to the south, to the west, from every side you are surrounded. He was completely outnumbered. Say, but God. So what this king did, you need to understand, let me start here. When this Assyrian army attacked, victory was guaranteed. They have not failed one battle. This king of Assyria boasted about the fact of all the nations that he conquered in a letter that he had sent to King Hezekiah. In this letter to Hezekiah, he stated, listen, the Lord your God will not be able to deliver you out of this battle. Do not trust in the Lord your God. Rather, you surrender to me. If you surrender to me, I will give you everything that your heart desires. You will be wealthy. Just surrender to me. But if you do not surrender to me, I will come into this city and I will kill everything and everyone. Imagine you receive a letter stating that, listen, your house is completely surrounded. You're standing man alone in your house, or yourself and your wife, children, let's say four people. Your house is completely surrounded. Give over, or we're going to come in, we're going to kill everyone. People will, sorry. Come in, please. Just take whatever you need. Come on now. You know what this king Hezekiah did? He didn't even answer the messengers. He sent them away. And he took this letter into the house of God. And he went onto his knees, bowed down, opened this letter before him. And he said the following: God, look at this letter that these people have written about you. This letter wasn't addressed to God. It was addressed to Hezekiah. But he took it and surrendered it to God. He said, look, God, look what they're saying about you. Look what they're writing about you. Lord, please do not turn a deaf ear to this thing. Don't turn a blind eye. I trust in you. I've seen you do this thing before. And I know that you're going to do it again. And he surrendered this thing to God. And he bowed down and he worshipped. And he surrendered to God. And the Bible says that as he worshipped, that an angel of God was sent into the camps of Assyria and to the armies that surrounded the city. And that this angel started killing people left, right, and center to such an extent. Can you imagine you were in this Assyrian army? An angel comes through and starts killing people. The people started running. That the one who wrote the letter, the king of Assyria, turned around and he fled back to his own house. But when he came to his own house, that his own two sons killed him. Oh, you better understand that when you operate under a Yada anointing, your enemies can try and run from you. It won't help. They will be taken out. They will be taken down. Every word of accusation spoken against you, that the enemy have sent out against you, will stand null and void. It will have no power. If you can only but bow down in total surrender and say, God, listen to what the enemy is saying about you. Enemy speaking to you, but I surrender to you, God. I don't accept this thing. This is not known. I surrender this thing, and this day I surrender it to you. May you rise up on my behalf. May your name be made known through my life. Listen, in Yada, you will not need to worry about what is going on around you. All you need to do is surrender. Amen. Say Yada. Third dimension, Barak. B-A-R-A-K. And it means to bow down. Just quickly going to touch on this one. Psalm 138 verse 2, NLT version, if possible. NLT version, Psalm 138 verse 2. And it says, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. That word bow means barak. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. This is where you bow down before God. You will see this many evenings as we go into worship. You'll see people just falling down to their knees. And it is not because they have to do it. It is because the weight of God's glory comes upon them. And all that you can find yourself is to be pushed down to the ground. As you bow down, your heart is broken. You're completely open. You're weeping. You're crying. It speaks of a complete state of intimacy being open before God. Amen. It means to bow down. This goes hand in hand with Yada, with exactly the same results. Point number four, fourth level, to boast. Say to boast. Say again, say to boast. This is a type of worship where you boast in God. Amen. It is a type of worship that will cause you to walk in constant victory. Amen. That's for me. This is a testimony type of worship. It is a type of worship, are you guys awake? That will cause you to walk in constant victory. It is a type of worship that will cause you to walk in constant victory. Come on, receive it. Amen. Revelations chapter 12 verse 11. It is a testimony type of worship. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. I want to show you this. King James Version. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now listen, we misunderstand this scripture. Go for me one back, one scripture back, 10 verse 10. Look at this. Go one back to 9. Look at this. And the great dragon was, go one back again. Another one. Okay. And there was war in heaven. Say there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. Who? And who? And his angels. Say them. Say they. Fought. Okay. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Go on. And prevailed not. There's a reason why they couldn't prevail. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Go on. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then go to verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. Go on. Go on. And it says there, and they overcame him. Who? They. Who? Who was they? The archangel Michael's and his angels overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. I don't think you're getting this. Blood was shed in heaven. If the blood was needed in heaven to overcome, how much more do you and I not need it here on earth? But Christ have died on that cross, and blood was shed, and we now walk by the word of our testimony. It is in this that we now boast as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It means to boast in God, to say, you know who I am. Do you know who I am? There's this saying in the world, who's your daddy? I want to ask you this morning, who's your daddy? You know, as children, talk. You know, as small children, especially boys. Okay, you know what my dad can do. My dad drives this car. Oh, but my dad, you know my dad. My dad is the CEO of heaven. I am the son of a king. I have been crowned with righteousness and with glory. I walk in peace and in rest. I am an ambassador of Christ. Do you know my daddy? That's where you boast in God. Come on, that first time when you came onto salvation and the fire of God stirred up on your heart, how did you feel? I don't know about you, but when I encountered God that first night and he touched my heart, and a fire was stirred up in my spirit, I could not keep my mouth shut. I mean, I went back to my workplace, and I'm loud. They always say that I've got a built-in mic. I went back that next morning. I said, yes, you will not believe what happened to me last night. And the people thought, because they know me from the world, they thought I'm going to now tell it something of that. And I said, man, I encountered God. And immediately, you could see the blank look on everyone's face. I'll never forget it. I said, I'm telling you, this thing is real. And they're like, we didn't even know you were a Christian. I'm like, eish, it's actually bad. But nonetheless, I encountered God. I want to tell you, listen, this thing is real. Man, His power is real. His fire is real. You cannot convince me otherwise. I felt Him last night. His glory came upon me, turned my heart. It's like I could see for the first time. I could not keep my mouth shut. I opened the Word of God and I started reading. We were quiet for about 6 months, so by the grace of God, I had time to read the Word. Sitting there at work, like relaxing, reading the Word of God. 8 hours a day. Went through the Word in 3 months. Couldn't put it down. Up until this, I still can't put it down. I love God's Word. And still today, I cannot keep my mouth shut. If you give me a chance to speak, I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to speak. And I will boast in one thing, and that is in Him. My God, the all the true living everlasting God. I will boast about His loving kindness. I will boast about His goodness. I will boast about the good news. I will boast about everything that He has done for me. Because I want those around me to encounter Him the way that I have encountered Him. I will boast. Amen. Say boasting. Have I had persecution because of it? Oh yes. Oh yes. I've had people that will say, you and your religion, man, it's now enough. Have I had people go to the HR department complaining? Yes. But God, oh, but God. The devil can throw his tantrum, I don't care. It's got no effect over me, amen? Boasting in God. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. NIV version. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. NIV version. Listen to this. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Wow. I understand that the moment that you boast about Him, that your name is being erected as a memorial before the Father that is in heaven. He acknowledges. Hey, do you want God to acknowledge you? Boast about Him. Amen. Last dimension, I'll be closing off with this one. Number 5. And it means to praise in advance. Hebrew word, todah. T-O-W-D-A-H. Who got it right? T-O-W-D-A-H. It means to praise in advance. Amen. Put on Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. New Living Translation. Psalm 50, verse 23. And it says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. Wow. This is God speaking. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. This is God speaking here. If you give thanks to me, it is a sacrifice that honors me. Who wants to honor God and see God glorified? It says, if you gave thanks to me. Now, this is not giving thanks for what you've got. It means to give thanks in advance. It's easy to give thanks for what you've got. But it takes a special kind of person to stand up and to give thanks and rejoicing for what you do not yet have. It is a type of worship that is known as a faith type of worship. This is a type of worship that is pleasing unto God. And this is a type of worship that will draw God's attention to you. The Bible says in Hebrew chapter 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Because he that comes to God and must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of him that diligently seek Him. You cannot please God without faith. It is only through faith that you're going to please Him. It is through faith that you stand and that you start to praise and give thanks for what you do not have. It is here where you start to prophesy yourself blind to the circumstances and that is around you. It is here that you start to speak the things that are not as if they are. It is here that you say, Lord, I thank you for my bigger house. I thank you for this car that you've given me. I thank you for the increase in my job. I thank you for new job opportunities. The people around you will think, hey, this guy's blessed. He already has got all these things. No, no, no. I'm thanking in advance for what is to come. You will see that thing made manifest because it draws the attention of God. I'm acting upon something that I know exists in heaven. and I trust in His word. The only thing that I need to do is stand up and rejoice. Zama, bow down and surrender. Give complete control over to Him and see a circumstance being turned around. And praise in advance that you shall see miracles take place in your life. Listen, I'm testifying to this thing in this morning. I said previously that when I preach, it's not me preaching, it's me testifying. It is called a worship of faith. You're not worshiping because of what He's done, but you're worshiping, praising Him for what He's going to do. Do you believe that He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Do you believe it? Amen. Stand and give God a praise offering.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.